Good evening and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. Steve, I feel like I'm out in Neverland. I don't know. Could we get it a little closer? Never ever land. Yeah, that's better. Want you to be able to see my face. Why, I don't know. But I can tell you, I like seeing it through the Zoom better and better because you don't really see what I see. Anyway, where are we? We are at the Yellow Dogs, and today is a big day, the Earth Day, a day that affects all of us. Not exclusive. It was founded in 1970 as a way to increase our awareness about the environmental issues. And so each year on April the 22nd, millions of people worldwide celebrate the day with rallies and cleanup events and educational programs. And there's a website, earthday.org, that keeps these issues in our consciousness, and they're up to date. So I decided to just put one more request in that computer, but it was for a good cause, earthday.org. So my talk tonight begins with a Charles Dickens famous statement. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times. The worst of times, what do we do with them? Because the teachings make it very clear that life is full of all of it. The best of times and the worst of times. So how do we live peacefully with the worst of time? Because the worst of time, there are many, many wars, or more wars, I could say, developing. And, of course, in our country, we're in the middle of a push within our country, within Americans, to steer us away from the freedoms of democracy. That at least in its least thing it offers, it offers us that at least we're individuals that are worthwhile. So I've never been much of a flag waver, but I've also never experienced the feeling, the unsafeness in the ways that feelings arise with what's going on in our country. And I don't have to tell you that we are divided in the most unsettling ways, because we've forgotten that we are all human beings first and foremost. And I'm experiencing what others have been experiencing over and over again, us and them. And us and them living is hell, we know. So we are in hell. And some moments of our day are life. And so we crave to live in a place that serves all people. Jack Kornfield, as most of you know, one of our teachers, has worked tirelessly to help us to wake up. Said a couple of days ago, in troubled times, we have to go back to the basics, the heart of our practice. the power of mindfulness. And we even find ourselves trying to complicate a very simple process because we want to conceptualize our meditation even. So, but mindfulness is big enough to hold it all. And who we are is mindful, loving attention, awareness. Mindful, loving awareness. That's who we are. And so the Buddha instructs, there's a wonderful way for living beings to overcome grief and sorrow, to end pain and anxiety, to travel the path of compassion and understanding, to realize liberation. This way is the establishment of mindfulness. And it is in that process that we're all participating in tonight that leads us to the best of times. Because mindfulness is a balanced, kind, compassionate attention amidst it all. With mindfulness, we can see clearly, free ourselves from hate, fear, release, confusion, reactivity, and respond wisely. The Buddha's still talking. So our intention here at Yellow Dog is to learn to live in the best and worst of times. That's it. It's that simple. But as we all know, it's not that easy because it takes commitment. And we have to watch the rational mind because when it gets a hold of our meditation practice, it starts, sometimes telling us things that just flat aren't true. So we have to watch our mind states toward our meditation practice. Oh, it's hard to sit for 30 minutes. Oh, it's hard to show up to Sangha. Well, you know, at Sangha, things are going on that we have no idea the impact that it has on the whole world, on the whole universe. Now, of course, that takes a huge leap of faith for some of us, but it doesn't for me. So, present moment living is natural living, but we are conditioned to conceptual living. That's why we always have to be very conscious of where our minds are trying to take us. And we've all had enough practice to know that we are capable of that, but again, we have to do it. We have to show up. And showing up at the Sangha when there's better times that we think we are to do is priceless. It is truly what will impact what's going on more than anything we can do. Now that sounds pretty incredible, but I have a lot of people who are much wiser than I that have come to this conclusion. So presence is where our deep happiness begins and grows. But if we don't practice it, and it's only place where life can be lived fully, not in our minds that creates another reality that's not real. Oh, this meditation practice is not working. I mean, I've been doing it for days and weeks and months. It ain't working. And so we conceptualize the practice like we do all other things in our lives, but it's not the same. And so, when we're not living or practicing being in the present moment, then we're just creating a conceptual reality. It disconnects us from ourselves and from the community. And some teachers say, of course, the main reason for most of this suffering is the mind, or the lack of understanding its true nature. Because we don't want to throw out the baby with the wash. Well, is that the right?
Bath water,
thank you. See, it takes the whole community. So we have a choice to live in the present moment. Nothing is more important than that. And if you want to know what yellow dogs stand for, that's it. It's giving us opportunities to come as a group, which the Buddha says is of the three, what, Randy?
The three jewels.
Buddha,
Dharma, and the Sangha.
Thank you. Then it would be the Sangha. So it has a huge impact, even when we forget. So we have a choice to learn to live in the present moment and to see for ourselves the difference. Now, how long does that take? Well, who knows? You know, who knows, but probably a lifetime. It's not something because of our environment that we cannot not be attached to where we have that kind of commitment. So living in the mind or living in whole body awareness, when are we going to wake up to the difference? Because I think it'll have an impact on our practice. Ooh, yeah. Not to make us feel guilty, but put it as a priority. I mean, that's one of the things I can say that in mine and Randy's long relationship of 56 years is just that. It's putting it as the priority because, you know what? There's a lot of other things we really like to do. But we also know what the impact that the Sangha has on our lives. We have felt it. We have directly experienced it. And so the best of times where we come together, where mindfulness moves us through our hearts, not our minds. And that leads to more happiness. We become less picky about what makes us happy and what doesn't make us happy. My gosh, if you are alive and you live in this part of the country and you haven't seen what's going on out in nature, it's incredible. I'm always saying, Randy, come and see this. And I know our situation is pretty incredible. But come see this. Well, there's two young, this is just one of the many things, two young cardinals that we have two tubs that we keep full of water every day for all the animals. I mean, they just dunk in the water and it's deep, and take a huge dunking bath. And we've seen them do that several times, and anytime we see it, you know, we tell the others, come look. And all of a sudden, the fox, what's his name?
White Paw
has shown up, and we hadn't seen him in months. And all of a sudden, here he is, and I mean, we're just celebrating. So our environment is celebrating. Have you noticed? That's what spring is all about, is a renewal. So in meditation, we have found a way, a different way to perceive not only our lives, but what's right under our noses. It's those simple, magical events of our lives that meditation enables us to touch. And so the happiness naturally arises because we begin to see life and to feel life in a completely different way. And it's compelling. It never gets boring. It never gets tiring. Why? Because we're changing constantly. We're not the people we were a minute ago. But we're not awake to that. We think we're the same old, same old. So we're not privy to that information until we go within. And when we go within, we touch places and certainly our true self that's like no other, that's completely different than our outside life. So meditation brings more understanding and balance to things that break our hearts. I mean, I have to say, my heart is broken every day. If I keep up with what's happening in the world, and I have that responsibility. And what can I do with that? Well, there's a lot of activities that I can physically engage myself in. But the most important is what I am as a human being offering the rest of us all day long. Again, it's not to make us feel guilty, because we know the teachings say, yeah, we're human beings and we are perfectly imperfect. So there's space for that too. Okay, so I did take meditation for granted for a little bit, but I woke up to it. Because if you've tasted in the least way what meditation offers you personally, you won't let it go. You won't let it go. And if you do, that's okay. As Ram Dass says, you're going to lose it. You're going to fall off the wagon, you might say. But you'll always come back because you've had the taste. And so it frees meditation and understanding the phenomena that we are living through in the mind and body. It frees us from the tyranny of our own ignorance. Think about the last time you were lost in your emotions. I can. And I was lost. The last time maybe you were harshly unforgiving of yourself or others. I've been there. More times than I'd like to confess. Or the last time you felt trapped. The last time a craving was so strong that all reason and common sense fled. I can relate to that. Remember the last time any sense of potential change collapsed and we go into hopelessness? I've been there. That's part of life. So those are experienced times that need to be known and understood because it's deep, deep, deep wisdom. But we don't want to remove ourselves from all parts of life. We want to rest in the big middle of it, in the big center of it. And a centeredness that's found within, that meditation enables. But again, it's a practice. And you can't have a practice without a commitment of where it's important. But learning how to access within ourselves, we're able to be intimate, not only with life, but ourselves and one another. It's a way to touch the togetherness. We're all family. Don't we get longing for family? And yet we cut our family into very small brackets of people? Yeah. And there's so many people to love. So when we learn that when we connect to who we are, we're never alone. Never, ever, ever alone. We're just out of touch of who we are. And so, I want to stop there. Pick it up next week. Thank you for being good listeners. And now we'll open it up to you. Thank you.